If you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, let me get things situated here. And I believe beginning at verse 27. Through 35. Now, I told the choir before I started the service today, I said, y'all make sure I don't preach too long today. Could y'all help me with that? I'm sure my son will be glad to say and raise his hand. And say, that's enough. No. But anyways, we've got communion here today, so I'm going to try not to make it too long. Too long. That didn't sound right, did it? Matthew 24, beginning here at verse 27. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after this, the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call. And they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. The word of God for the people of God. Amen. About 1978 or 79 or 80, somewhere in that time frame. Now, my dad's affectionately known as Papa as well, but my Papa, which is my grandfather, they had a furniture store. We lived out in the boonies. It used to be an egg processing place where they sold eggs to A&P and to Edwards Pies, and they got out of that business and opened up a furniture store, and he was minding the furniture store, and yeah, people came out to the boonies to buy furniture every now and then. Sometimes they'd sit there, wouldn't have a customer all day. Sometimes they would have several. And one day, two or three guys entered into the store. I wasn't there. No one else was but my grandfather, my papa, and he welcomed them in and turned around to show them some things. And when he turned back around, there was a gun in his face. And they sat him down on one of the couches there, and they, with a gun pointed at him, and wanted him to give him all of his money. Now, he was raised in the years of the Great Depression, so he likened himself to carry a few hundred dollars on him, two or three hundred, or even a little bit more sometimes, because it was security in that sense, having that cash on you. And I guess some people found out that he was carrying that cash and decided to go rob him. they eventually get caught, long story short. But he said he wanted to hit one of them, and he thought to, but he didn't. Now, he had several options that were before him. Now, let's just put it this way. Let's say someone credible had called him the day before and said, "You're going to be robbed at around noontime tomorrow." What would his options have been? Think about it. Maybe some of you have been robbed or something has happened to you quite like that that you weren't expecting at all. And what if someone credible had said to him, "You're going to get robbed at noontime"? Well, he had several options in play at that point, if he knew that. And the one would be, "Hey, just don't open the store that day. Just keep it closed. I know that this is about to happen." The other would be, just to, when you see someone driving up, just lock the door and don't let them in. The other is, and he had a shotgun. I think I've got that shotgun now. Monty, you saw me shoot that shotgun not too long ago for target practice. He could have had a shotgun there and available, you know, to defend himself. All those would be options before him, had he known they were coming. But he didn't know, you see. And the scriptures talk about not knowing. A thief comes in the night. A thief will come unaware. Excuse me. And like this, so will the Son of Man come again, the second coming. Except this should not be something that as Christians we should be fearful of. We should welcome the second coming of Jesus Christ. It is the fulfillment of His promise to Abraham, the covenant to Abraham, the covenant before Isaac, the covenant when Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection, and that He would fulfill all of these things for us, you see. But there's a world that's filled with sin and is ignoring the good news of Jesus Christ and His second coming. Now, what are the visions we have with the second coming? Well, we see people on the street, don't we, who would wear a placard on both sides and it would say, "Repent, for Jesus is coming again. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And what do we think of those persons? Even in Christian circles, some of us think those people are a little bit loony, aren't they? Am I correct? I mean, you think that, right? You think that they're a little bit loony, that they're out there. Maybe they're doing what God wants them to do. Now, it might not be the approach I would take, but is it not truth? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus is coming soon. There is no denying that. For Jesus must fulfill all of these things. He must not fall short. It is as important as the birth of Jesus Christ. It is as important as the death of Jesus on the cross. It is as important as the resurrection of Jesus. It is as important as God's covenant with Abraham. These things must happen. Now, how many of you watched football yesterday? Anybody watch the Georgia game? What about the Clemson game there, David? Did you watch the Clemson game? Yeah. They won that one, didn't they?
After I cut it off.
After you cut it off. Well, I learned something new yesterday. I watched a lot of football yesterday. Even Dad went to sleep, and I was still watching football. I learned that there was such a thing as ESPN Plus. And I didn't know about that before. We have Disney Plus, and it was all in on that package. And all of a sudden opened a whole new world of, I got a lot of football I didn't know about. And could even watch the Georgia game. So I had to find the Georgia game. And even with its delay, we even wound up watching Georgia Tech. They're a good team. Georgia's got to worry about them. Well, all of this reminded me of a scene where a football player, and this didn't happen yesterday on any of the games. It could have, but I think it happened last year sometime. A guy catches a pass, and he's running down the field, and lo and behold, as he's running, two guys are chasing him, but they're not catching him. He's outrunning them, and he just lays the football, lets go of the football on the two-yard line. Just puts it down. And it kind of rolls on into the end zone, just right around the end zone line. He's in the back there celebrating, high-fiving. He just scored a touchdown. But no, he didn't. You know what's going on? The ref is standing there on the sideline just looking at the ball. He's marked where the ball went down. Just kind of knowing where it's at, and he's just paying attention. No signal has gone up, touchdown. Guy's in there, and several people from his team are celebrating his touchdown. That's not a touchdown. The other opposing team picks up the ball, fumbles around with it. Another one picks it up, and they run the full 98 yards and score a touchdown with five people running alongside them and defending them all the way. It went the total other way. Wow. You see, Jesus isn't going to do that. He's going to finish what he has said he's going to finish. He's going to cross that goal line. I know that's kind of like a stretch, but he's going to cross what will complete the covenant. And he will make all things new. See, this story, and you read after this scripture, it talks about the thief coming. And you don't know when. For the Christian, it's not anything to worry about. It's something to welcome, isn't it? You see, the second coming of Jesus Christ is to bring fulfillment of his covenant. It's important. And it's our hope to see it fulfilled. Our taking communion is a part of that covenant and ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not a one-time event. It is a continual. When we gather together, ever so often we take communion because it's a continual event, our relationship with Jesus Christ, to be covered and made whole by the blood of Jesus. So it's the fulfillment. But it's also, the second coming is about bringing about judgment. How many of you sinned this past week? Don't raise your hand. Y'all, everybody raise their hand. Yeah, I saw how quick y'all were to raise your hands. But we all have sinned, haven't we? Maybe a little sin, maybe something big. Maybe just various things. How many of us are going to sin this week? Yeah, we all can raise our hand. We probably are, aren't we? It's not that we hope to. It's not that we set out to. We don't leave this place going, well, I'm sinning this week. Sorry, God, but let me just go ahead and let you know I'm going to be sinning, you know. No, we don't. We set off to do our best, don't we? But the thing about it is we're never going to accomplish salvation on our own, are we? It's not a work that we can accomplish. It is the work that Jesus accomplishes. Through his Son, we are washed white as snow. Scriptural. White as snow, without blemish. It is trusting in him to cover us. So you see, judgment is coming. The second coming is the judgment of God. All right, so there was this woman who had seven DUIs, caught seven times. Now, this means that she could have had other times where she was driving drunk, okay? And mind you, I'm never a fan of anyone. I don't think the scripture speaks that getting drunk is a good thing ever, okay? I think it says, hell hath opened wide its mouth. to devour those who are given to strong drink. Read it. It's in there. Okay? Anyways, this woman had 70 UIs. She'd been given a kind of slap on the wrist a couple of times and said, don't do this again. Probation, 5 years jail, 10 years, 15 years jail. But all those were kind of given, you know, very short times, like maybe a month or 3 months at a time. But each time she got out, she went right back to doing that again. And the judge finally saw all this time and then determined, you know, judgment has to come. See, we live in a world that thinks there's never going to be a judgment. There's not even sin in some people's minds in this world. We recognize sin. It's our separation from God, our disobedience to God, rather than humbling ourselves and knowing that God is the one who formed the universe. Where were we? The scriptures even asked that to David. Where were you when I formed this, the sun and the stars and the moon? Were you there? No. We can't cause one hair on our head to turn gray except if we worry. You see, the judge then proclaimed to this woman judgment. Okay, I'm going to wrap this up because I said I was going to do it. judgment is part of the second coming of Christ, because as this woman thought there wasn't going to be any judgment, and then the judge said, no, 20 years without parole. That means you're going to serve 20 years. And thank God you didn't kill anybody already. And because you're such a danger that you might, therefore she was sentenced. See, Jesus is coming. But to those who are covered by the blood of Jesus, we do not have to worry. In fact, this is something to celebrate. It wouldn't matter if the whole world came under the rule of Sharia law. Jesus is still going to be victor. He's still going to be judge over this whole world. And he's still going to say, I only know you through the blood of Jesus. Because he can only accept into his kingdom that which is good. See, we fall short, don't we? It's only through the blood of Jesus that we can be considered good. For he has taken our sin and placed it on his shoulders. He has endured the judgment that we would receive, and it's been placed on his shoulders. And he must fulfill it by coming again. We spend our time in this world. Me too. I'm not going to say that I don't do this too as well. Because we know we have need of things in this world. And we make sometimes this world our priority when we shouldn't. And I'm thinking in terms of one of those ropes. I heard a preacher say this, so I'm using this illustration too. And it's one of those tug-of-war ropes, you know, that you had in elementary school, and you get five guys on one side and, you know, five guys on the other, and you see who's the strongest to pull. Or you'd get 30 on one side and all the teachers on the other side, and you would, you know, have this battle going back and forth. Well, he used that rope, and he had one end of it wrapped in red tape. He said, this red part represents your life. The rest of this long rope that just extended, you know, 30 or 40 more feet, this is like your life until death, and the rest of that's eternal life. We spend a lot of time concerned about this portion, when there's this much more to go on. In fact, we do more of this too, and he pointed out, and really, it's like you're born, and you work all this time to save up for retirement, and you go, hey, I'm going to go travel, and I'm going to buy a new house, and I'm going to go out to eat wherever I want, and do all sorts of things, and it's all kind of geared up for those last years. And the thing about it is, we don't need to be building toward those things. We need to be building toward the life that is forever and ever. Yes, God knows you need to be mindful of things in this life, in relationships. And he wants you to enjoy life. But keep in mind, heaven's going to be a place of pure joy and enjoyment. We're not going to be there twiddling our thumbs, sitting on a cloud. He didn't form all of this to go, well, heaven's going to be blah. I don't think we can imagine how good heaven's going to be. I don't think we're capable in our worldview to really know what heaven's going to be like. He's bringing judgment. And he's trying to share with us the value and importance of the priorities we make in this world. Jesus is coming again. It is up to us to prepare ourselves for that coming. It is up to us to be the church and to share that with others so that they can pick up a Gideon Bible or any other Bible and they can read it in here, or they can see it from the church itself and how you live, that you prioritize a relationship with Jesus Christ as valuable. See, communion, we don't just take one time, we take continually. Baptism is once. It's one baptism. That's like justification. Communion is like sanctification. I know that's big words, but that means a continual work in our relationship with Jesus. You see, it's ongoing. That's why I say read your Bible daily. I know you might not read it every day, but if you can, read it every day, because it's about your relationship with Jesus. It's about listening to God's holy word. It's only about reading a chapter or two or three. And in 90 days, you can read the whole New Testament. In a year, you can read through the whole Bible with just a few chapters a day. Just think, even if you skipped every other day, folks, in 2 years, you could have read through this whole book. People can read through novels that are like twice as thick as this and think nothing of it. But then they think, read the whole Bible? Just take it a little bit at a time. We take communion this day. And if you would, turn in your hymnals to page 12. And Jody, if you would come up to serve with me.